On a runway in Paris, France, in the summer of 1962, Helen Lee Cartledge and her husband Willis were waiting to board Air France Flight 007 on its inaugural flight from France to Atlanta, Georgia. Helen was among several friends from Atlanta, distinguished culture makers and patrons of the arts, who were finishing up a month-long European art tour. 5 years earlier, Helen had become the first president of the Theater Atlanta's Women's Guild in Atlanta. And now, inside the Boeing 707, she was ready for the transatlantic journey home. But the flight never happened. During the takeoff, the landing gear never left the ground. The pilots attempted to abort the flight, but in doing so destroyed the tires and wheels entirely and ran the plane off the runway into a nearby town. Helen Lee Cartledge and her husband died in the crash, along with 128 others. It was the deadliest airplane crash up to that point in history. In her grieving, Helen's mother, Frania Lee, wanted a way to honor her daughter's life and dreams. And so in 1966, she funded the opening of Theater Atlanta, a beautiful venue that would later be renamed as Center Stage. In the decades to follow, numerous plays, events, and musical performances would pass through Center Stage, everything from Elton John to Jamie Foxx to Duran Duran to Lady Gaga. Today, the larger building is known by the three separate spaces that it houses: the Center Stage Theater, the Loft, and its most intimate space, the Vinyl. From the memory of a terrible loss to the arts community came a place where art could flourish and where new sounds could be born. My name is Jason Daiba, and you're listening to the Passion Podcast. A few weeks ago, just as 2019 was coming to a close, I met up with worship leader Sean Curran and talked to him about what had become a remarkable year for him, having released new music on multiple projects. I asked him what his process was for mapping out so many new songs in a year, including a 51-minute-long worship experience video that he had recorded live at Center Stage in Atlanta at the Vinyl.
I have a hard time planning music. Music usually ends up being a response to life, the good and the challenging. And so this year, I guess I put out a handful of songs that I think speak to all of that. And I kind of just have to jump in the river and see where it goes. But I've really been trying to be present to that. I've been trying to write songs that help me in a deep and personal way understand more of myself and understand more of my creator. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, every now and then in all of those songs, there's a few that seem to have a resonant tone with other people. And so when that happens, you lead them with other people.
It seems like you're writing a lot. You're at least releasing a lot of music. I mean, this year you put out new music on Follow You Anywhere, the Passion album, mm-hmm. that came out on January 1 or January 2nd, one of those days. Mm-hmm. And then you put out a whole nother studio EP.
Yeah.
Halfway through the year.
Yes.
And then another live album, like in the fall. Like, who are you in a race with?
It will always be myself. I'm trying to work through that. No, we had some discussions about this. There were a lot of songs. I feel like I have a hard time not writing songs. Mm-hmm. And so at some point, we just tried to figure out an appropriate way to invite other people into them. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, Passion Conference was a beautiful expression, and just figuring out a way to maybe release some other content in a certain medium in a digestible way that felt like opening the window to the worship conversation through my lens, through my heart, whatever that means.
Yeah.
That turned into this studio project.
Yeah.
And just a couple songs. Some of them were already released through the Passion record.
Mm-hmm.
And it just was a baseline, you know, starting the conversation. And then I think where I get really excited, in some ways, the only way I even understand music is spiritually speaking in a live context.
Hmm.
That's really the only way that I've ever been able to interface with it. And I feel so alive and so connected. And I feel like I'm most myself when I'm singing to God. The biggest goal of my life is figuring out how to get that to percolate into the rest of my existence.
Yeah.
So leading worship, allowing, actually creating a space where we can host heaven together and let our songs be a conversation with God.
Yeah.
I feel like that actually completes the circuit for mm-hmm. what worship music is supposed to be.
It's like worship ought to foster community.
They are connected.
Yeah.
They are directly connected. And so a lot of that thinking led to this most recent release, which was called All of Us, All Praise,
mm-hmm.
and in Atlanta, which was really fun.
What was that night like?
The vinyl, first of all, I was really excited to have the recording there because I think so much of my life and so much of my walk with God and my songwriting journey, it's all trying to excavate the supernatural in and through the normal and mundane.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm trying to be available to partner with God's eyes in a way that helps me see what he sees.
Yeah.
And so I thought it'd be really, and that's the interesting thing about Jesus. We should be cautious to only expect him to move in certain environments and not others.
Mm-hmm.
And if anything, I feel like his ministry on earth, he was actively awakening us to a bigger view because he's always found in places people didn't expect to find him. And so it's just, man, there's a venue downtown. It's small, it's grungy. It has hosted so many other things, but there's nothing stopping it from being holy ground.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing stopping it from being a space where we invite God to dwell. And so that was the heart of trying to unify a city and unify God's people in a room that didn't look like church, but we had some serious church.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, it was a really special night for my heart. But a lot of that, too, was community-based. And I think that informed some of my vision for the title of the record. It also was a reflection of, I think, my understanding of music growing up. The night was about 300 of us in a room that fits maybe about 250.
Mm-hmm.
Those were the spaces I was in.
Yeah.
I would much rather have a room that's too small than one that's too big.
Kind of the indie, the underground.
Yeah.
We're in on something special.
Yeah. And you're gonna be sweaty. You're just going to be.
Yeah.
But there's a collective energy about that when you're shoulder to shoulder with everybody.
Yeah.
And I think that's actually a beautiful place for something like worship.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's such an interesting thing. You know, worship music is unique in so many ways. But one of the things that its intention is around is creating unity for God's people to sing to God and being a mouthpiece for the hand and heart and glory of God. It's crazy that when we sing together, we sound pretty good most of the time. It's really, as long as we're singing together, it's hard to sound bad.
Yeah.
And there's something in that that's really moving to me, and it feels close to the heart of God. It feels deeply relational, and I love the idea that it's always been about one name, but worship music just, it falls apart if it becomes about one singer, you know?
Yeah.
And so even when I'm leading, part of my focus is trying to figure out, trying to get us to the point where I don't have to use the microphone anymore.
Yeah.
You know, once we arrive there, we're collectively in the presence of God, so much so that I don't think anyone cares what they sound like. And I'm not even sure if God cares what you sound like.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's more interested in where the song's going and where it's coming from. And I want to live in that space, and I want to write songs that help evoke and participate in that movement.
What was the idea to take this night and make a long form, full experience video of it?
I think in some ways, from a maybe a philosophical place,
because most people only want to watch about 30 seconds of anything.
Oh, that's true. It's a big gamble. Like, we're asking a lot of people, and I do understand that. I think it's hard. It's hard to, you end up, in my opinion, you end up cropping out a lot of the beauty of worship if you try to distill it down to the 5 seconds. And I understand, but I think that something that's so critical and intrinsic to the life of worship is space and is breath. And I think about it the way I think about prayer. It's a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
It must be a conversation. The only way to be present with someone is to allow for their presence. And so how do I do that with another person? You have to listen more.
Yeah.
You have to
give it a minute.
Give
it some space.
Yes, give space. And so I think in worship it's the same. I have a hard time thinking about spontaneous worship as a, I don't like to think about that as a genre of worship. I like to think about it as part of the conversation of communing with God.
Yeah.
And so listen more and create space for God to whisper something, and it sets you on a different trajectory, and there's got to be room for that. And so there was a lot of room for that in the night, and it's just, well, why don't we just put that whole experience online for people to engage with, especially since there are other ways to engage. I'm in the natural, in the mundane. I mean, you're at home, you're doing dishes, you're cleaning up the house, or you're just, you have an hour doing something. Just throw it on.
Yeah.
You know, be in the midst of it. Mm-hmm. God works that way too. He works in the subtleties. He works in the environment. He works in the atmosphere. Surround yourself and jump into that. So I think that's my hope, is that people would engage with the space and maybe have an encounter. Why not?
One of the things about your music that's interesting, one thing that's interesting about that night, is a lot of your lyrics are really personal, and they're very intimate, just in the sense that they're written from like a singular perspective, I think, about bigger than I thought.
Mm-hmm.
It's written in the voice of one person having a revelation. But yet, the way that night happened, the way that you often carry your leadership when you lead worship, has this sense of we're singing something so personal and singular, but the moment is yet so plural. It's like we're actually all by it's there's an old James Joyce quote of like the universal is in the particular.
Oh, I love that. Yes, I do. Well, for me, it's been impossible to pluck out the personal while trying to commune with God. I think that's actually the God space. That's the stuff God's trying to engage with you on.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have been on a journey, and it comes out in my songwriting, I guess, of trying to help and encourage gracefully other people to sing from that place.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, who said this? It's something like, good art informs the listener of the artist, but great art informs the listener of themselves.
Hmm. Wow.
You know, and I think that's a posture that I try to take in what informs the type of songs I want to lead is something that's deeply gut-wrenchingly moving to me. But as soon as other people sing it, it becomes theirs. And it gives them language to unpack some of the most vulnerable pieces of them. And that can be very scary. That can be very challenging. It's so deeply necessary. And so, that is my hope, that collectively we can engage with God on a deeply personal level. And that's intimacy.
Yeah. From our other conversations we've had, I know you've spent a lot of time thinking about Passion Conference in particular. I was wondering, as you're preparing for that gathering, what are you thinking about and what are you praying for?
I've had so many conversations with students about this, and I feel like there's a collective sense that God is really stirring something. In a global sense, God is moving. But even from a functional, practical level, we as a human race are entering into a new decade.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives us an opportunity as God's people to gather and with one heartbeat say, God, we want to do this your way.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be on your page. We want to see this through with your eyes. So show us what your kingdom looks like now. Show us, we want to participate in eternal things. We want to come into alignment with heaven. Let's let this decade be about that. So for me, it's, God, what are you trying to sing?
Mm-hmm.
What are you trying to say? What are you trying to put in the mouths of young people? How are you trying to awaken your dreams in our hearts? How are you trying to close the gap between who we thought we were and who others have told us we are and who you've designed us to be? Let's participate in that.
What's the potential that you see when there are tens of thousands of young men and women who are abandoning their own will for their lives and deciding to live for the name of Jesus.
I think we would tangibly see the prayer that Jesus taught us coming to life.
Mm-hmm.
May your kingdom come. We put a gap between heaven and earth, you know. We might see that it's a little smaller than we think. I think we would see kingdom come.
You can experience that amazing night at The Vinyl by searching YouTube for Sean Kern, All of Us, live at The Vinyl. You can also hear more from Sean and see where he'll be leading live by going to seankernmusic.com. This episode was produced by myself with engineering help from John Duke, and thanks as always for listening to the Passion Podcast.